Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Here's a quotation. Americans discard 2.5 million plastic bottles every hour. That's enough bottles to reach all the way to the moon every 3 weeks. My source is the book 50 Facts That Should Change the World. And every time I go for a run, I pick up between 3 and 27 bottles chucked possibly by you. So what? Well, the following thoughts are from Valerie Yule, who lives and writes in Melbourne.
Suppose that by one of those evolutionary leaps that intrigue scientists, Homo horribilis all of a sudden evolves into Homo sapiens, man the wise. The result is dramatic. It is like a stampede stopping on the edge of a cliff. The time is past to find entertainment in dystopias or even satire. Let us imagine how Homo sapiens stops climate change. To imagine the world as it could be with man the wise. Science fiction has often imagined inventions, and they came to be invented. But future fiction rarely explains what sustenance the characters live on and how they get it. A genre of economic fiction could do this, first to imagine a future that has escaped our present challenges to survival, and then imagine how we might get there. In one scenario with the new Homo sapiens, it could take only 3 weeks to start drastically cutting global carbon emissions, simply by stopping waste. Waste is when anything becomes useless rubbish before it need be. It accounts for around half of all present production. Waste in the resources used to make wasteful products, waste in its marketing, waste in how it is chucked out. The best brains of the world must light up to answer the big riddle that has been set by the Premier of New South Wales. What is the use of saving the planet if it wrecks the economy? This, for us, is the riddle of the Sphinx. Other actions to cut emissions will take longer to work. To develop sources of energy that produce less greenhouse gases, to reduce the growth of populations by, among other things, the United Nations universal right to reproduce one child each, that's two per couple. A fourth strategy, to make profits by carbon trading and its problematic offsets, may hardly stop the emissions that it permits. Indeed, if producing waste is stopped, what happens to the economy? What happens to all the jobs and businesses that are busy producing, selling and clearing up all that gets wasted? How will the relative costs of our goods and services change when their cost of capital and labour are added to by future cost, their cost to the future in using up resources and emitting carbon gases? Household goods made to last will save a tremendous amount of waste production and greenhouse gases. But when the mass markets shrink, the lower costs from mass production are surrendered. And what happens to progress? Imagine solutions in an economic fiction. A user society replaces our consumer society. There is no unemployment after all, because all the jobs that need to be done are being done. Just look around you to see what needs to be done and what jobs and businesses are needed to stave off and cope with climate changes. Saving labour would no longer be admissible as a good reason to make products that cannot be repaired, or to cut services that people need, or to have appliances that waste fossil fuels to avoid the slightest human exercise. Homo sapiens distinguishes between what is new that is genuine progress in quality of life and what adds still more waste to our present age of excess. When companies keep turning out new models that are different but no better, and planned obsolescence makes sure you can't get parts to repair the old models, and underwear only lasts 6 months when it could last 6 years, that is waste. The computer industry, for example, functions with dangerous losses of backward compatibility and unsalvageable hardware too quickly outdated, not always through progress for the everyday user. The problem of excess. It is extraordinary that in the past 10 years, just as waste has become recognised as such a problem, wasteful consumption of resources in everyday life has been increasing fourfold rather than reducing. More disposables for convenience, more forests of paper for advertising and changing letterheads, cars tipped off the road for safety because they cannot be fixed up, good housing wrecked to rebuild more densely, tons of single-use medical waste because it can't be sterilised, trillions more spent on armaments to kill people and lay waste civilizations and food sources. So much incipient waste pours in the front door that the good housekeeper today is the one who can chuck it fastest out the back door. Yet this excessive consumption must be reduced somehow to save the planet. Buyers must no longer let themselves be conned by red-hot low prices for red-hot low quality that too soon needs replacing at more cost. Familiarity can become a pleasure as great as novelty, and thrift can regain its status without meanness. In utopian fantasy, Homo sapiens, the wise human, can prevent the tragedies we foresee. We could use what we have wisely for quality of life, not for gluttony, sloth, or showing off. We might be able to keep the benefits we now have, if we do not use them to excess as we do now. Using wonderful disposable nappies and rubber gloves and short-life plasticware, only when they are really needed. A local school was surprised to find that just by not wasting, it cut its energy bill by a third. Forest can only be saved if there is less demand for paper, biofuels, and for food for more populations. Humans could have their place in the food chain again instead of breaking it because they turn so much into permanent rubbish that cannot renew life. Economic fiction would be a good genre for imagination because it could show in detail the lives of ordinary people living in their sustainable households, using their brains daily, never bored, and also imagine future economic contexts that they could live in. Although we are becoming more scientifically literate, most of us are clueless about how our economies are organised, so that we cannot imagine how they might be improved to prevent waste and encourage real progress. Fiction could explore the risks and potentials of costly projects and actions that so often seem a good idea at the time, and the laws of unintended consequences and of nemesis, when NIMBYs, not in my backyard, are prescient conservationists, and when they are blinkered dug-ins. Economic fiction, like professional economics, could apply computer simulation and probability and game theories to explore how real wealth can be produced while avoiding the present waste in playing high finance. Imagine the futures of hedge funds, derivatives, the impending tsunamis of our current account deficits, the global robber baronies bigger than nations, and the bubbles, bulls and bears. It might read like Hitchhiker's Guides to the Galaxies in showing the absurdities that have been accruing onto an economic system designed basically, simply, to use capital to supply needs. Some stuff for economic fantasy is not far off old Greek legends. Some of the characters in economic fiction can be named like the characters in Dickens or Pilgrim's Progress. There is still Mr. Worldly Wiseman, Mr. Hopeful, Vanity Fair, the Slough of Despond, and Mr. Nitpicker. There is Mr. Really Green, so excessively single-minded that he tries to save washing up water by lining baking pans with future costly, single-use aluminium foil. Truly. Imagine one story. The pilgrim character is seeking to save the city of destruction, a place of conspicuous consumption where status is gained by wastefulness. Descendants of ancient quacky little Indians run the council, with their status achieved by showing off how they can destroy their heritage. The citizens go for brand new everything, ever-changing fashions, extravagant packaging, and wasteful presentations. They like to have the biggest, even when something smaller does a job better. Up to half the food produced is wasted. While in poor countries in the wilderness, the food waste is from rats and having no ways to preserve food, in the city of destruction, food is wasted if it's not sold, and bought food is often thrown out uneaten. Australians would recognise this. A 2005 study found that they spent 13 times more money on wasted food that they did not eat than they did on foreign aid. All this waste costs the earth triply, through the resources used to make it, the greenhouse gases emitted at every stage in its making, and at every stage in its trip to landfill. But at each of these stages, waste also contributes to the growth in our gross domestic product. Growth in GDP is defined as increased production levels of goods and services. Our present way of running the economy requires constant growth and rises in the GDP. This measure of prosperity must be changed so that it does not include as positives so many measures of the ways we waste. If a human adult keeps on growing in size, something is wrong. There's some panic now about adults who keep getting fatter. Something also is wrong if an adult does not keep growing in a different way, growing in wisdom. Cutting growth of material waste in an economy is similar. Will this waste be cut? What is growth in quality? Don't miss the next exciting episode. Pigs might fly, they used to say, and lo, the human pig flew. Castles in the air, they used to say, and lo, we have rings of satellites. It can't be done, they used to say, but they flocked to enjoy doomsday blockbusters and novels about dystopias. These would be horrible alternatives to submit to dumbly in our real oncoming future, rather than attempting now what must be done to stop the climate getting worse and shortages of all sorts. It could be done if it must be done. Homo sapiens could stop wasting and target more efficient energy sources and target waste in what that energy is used for, which is very important and is forgotten. And we could learn how to build for and cope with higher temperatures, higher seas, the floods, droughts, fires and strong winds that we may not be able to stop. And in doing so, have full employment in the industries, services and products that we will really need to research, invent and develop. Imagine that it happens this year, just in time, that everybody suddenly evolves into Homo sapiens, and that is how we avoid critical mess. You like fantasy? You must love this one.
Every hour, British households throw away enough rubbish to fill the Albert Hall, and each Brit generates half a ton of rubbish a year. Every 3 months, Americans chuck enough aluminium cans to rebuild the nation's entire commercial air fleet. More from the book 50 Facts That Should Change the World. And Clean Up Day, by the way, in Australia, is in 3 weeks. That was Valerie Yule in Melbourne. Next time, Professor John Bradshaw contemplates those really fascinating parts of your wiring, mirror neurons. I'm Robin Williams.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.